Hey friends, lovely to see you. If you're visiting us, welcome to Cromer. My name is Tim. I am married and have three kids. Actually, my wife Jess, she was at the school gate the other day, and the head teacher was just asking us how we were doing with three kids. You know, like there's like another one who's come into the fray, and she said, "You know what I live my life by is this motto: everybody fed, nobody dead." And I was like, "We are receiving that as our motto for life." Everybody ate, but nobody died. Everybody fed, nobody dead. All the parents can say, amen. All right. And what we want to talk about today is we want to talk about the promise, the purpose, and the process of pain. Well, that sounds really fun, right? But it's going to be fun. And we want to look at the place of pain in our lives and really... sometimes, like, the Lord, I believe, speaks to me about, like, the church, capital C, you know, like, what's going on in the nation, what's going on with his church across the UK. But sometimes I genuinely feel that he speaks directly for Cromer in a certain season to me. And this is one of those moments. So I'm going to submit that to you, that this is a word for us in the season that we're in. And two or three students came to me, and they were like, "Look, sometimes it's really hard because... everybody's like super joyful. Everyone's dancing and jumping around like lunatics. And I'm like, I'm just not in that place. Like, you know, we go after joy and God's glory and the presence of the Lord. And everyone comes down and we really push into the presence and the glory of the Lord." And these students came to me one at a time and they were like, "Hey, like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to live in a place of pain in my life and still come to like church and be joyful. Like, how do I do that?" And the truth is, friends, and we'll talk about this as we go through, the truth is that being in a place of joy is the place you need to be if you're in a place of pain. Because joy comes in the morning. And actually, you have a prophetic declaration over your life in these moments in Cromer as we worship him, that your life is not defined by your pain, it's defined by the joy that comes. And so actually, we want to look at what pain is, like what, and how we process through that well, be authentic with the season that we're in, but also engage in the corporate season, for example, in Cromer, and how we do that well. Is that all right with you guys? And we're going to look at Jesus as the archetypal example about how to do pain well, how to process pain well. And then we're going to look at how we can walk a journey together as a church, engaging in what God's called us to do. So if you've got a Bible, you can turn to Matthew 26. We're going to start at verse 36. Matthew 26, verse 36. And we're going to crack on. "Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled." Just pause. So Jesus is in pain, okay? I mean, that should be fairly obvious from the text, but I'm just pausing. Jesus is in pain. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Just pause. Just want you to notice that Jesus is in pain. The Son of God is in pain. And he's asking to be delivered from pain. And God says no. Now listen, we're going to talk about this. And we're not redefining the characteristics of God as being all loving. That's not what we're doing. But we just want to show that Jesus, as he walks through pain, actually inherits glory and joy. Okay? And so we're going to look at this in more detail. And by the way, we're not talking about physical healing here. So that is a whole separate subject. You know, every single person that went to Jesus for their physical healing was healed. And for one blind man, it took two occasions, but the only time they ever took two occasions of Jesus praying, and then he was healed, right? So we're not talking about physical pain. The whole purpose of physical pain is to bring glory to God in your healing, okay? That's what that's for. And actually, we're talking about something completely and utterly different. So we're talking about things that are traumatic, things that have happened in our lives that impact our emotions and our mind and how we think, all right? So that's what we're talking about. So Jesus is in pain here. He's asked to be delivered. "Then he returned," this is verse 40, "to his disciples and found them sleeping. 'Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?' he asked Peter. 'Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" So just pause. So Jesus knows that he's about to face the cross. He is sorrowed to being overwhelmed by sorrow, disease, and pain. He's asked to be delivered from it, and then his best mates fall asleep and don't help. Hey, listen, I'm just going to be real with you. Like, we get let down by people. Jesus isn't different in this sense of his human experience. He's let down by his friends. So also, he's now experienced isolation. He's experiencing loneliness in these moments. But what happens? He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." In other words, I don't want to go through this, but if there is a purpose to it, I will. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed a third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's go. Here comes my betrayer." I just wanted to read that to you because often we don't think about the incarnate Christ, the human form of God on earth, actually experiencing pain or walking through isolation or loneliness. But he did, in order that you understand how to get through it as well. You guys all right so far? You happy? So actually what we're looking for here is we're looking for the way that Jesus walks through pain, understands the purpose of pain, and processes it well. So we're going to look to him for our example about how to do those seasons in our life. Now, Jesus is the Messiah. In other words, he is the one that was promised to the Jews for 2,000 however many years before he came to earth, which means this. When he read the scriptures that suggested that the Messiah would go through pain in order to bring resurrection to the people, he knew that meant him. So he knew that part of his trajectory in his human physical life was to experience pain. Okay, I'm just throwing that out there to you. So he is not living in a sense of fantasy where pain doesn't exist in his life, okay? The second thing is that he also knows the purpose of his pain because Hebrews 12:2 says, it was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross. In other words, pain isn't just there so you get hurt. Pain is there so that you actually receive joy at the end of it. So as Jesus walks through pain, it is not because it's an inevitable faction of his life, although it is, it's actually because he knows the purpose of it is to resurrect him into glory. And so we should have the same response when we feel pain in our lives. And then the third thing is this, Jesus processes pain well. Hey, listen, I'm gonna go a bit hard on culture. Is that right with you guys? In our culture, we are obsessed with two things. Avoiding pain and numbing pain. Obsessed. We don't want to experience it. We hate it. And actually, Jesus wants to be delivered from it as well. But the point is that if you are in pain, to avoid or to numb is the worst thing that you can do. But there is a third option. Hey, and by the way, numbing looks like this. Be really busy so you haven't got to think about it. Scroll through social media to see how bad someone else's life is compared to yours. Avoiding looks like this, never taking a risk with a relationship because you don't experience the pain. Hey, friends, life is going to throw all sorts of stuff at you and you have to process pain well to get through the other side into joy, okay? And so when we avoid and when we numb, we aren't able to discover where Jesus is in our pain. But here's the promise, that he sits with you in the valleys to lead you out to the mountain. And so when we think about coming into a corporate expression like Chroma, the joy, the bouncing, the dancing, and we don't feel like, oh my gosh, like I'm not in that place, that is actually okay. But the question is, how do you engage with a corporate sense of purpose and a corporate sense of trajectory, even though you're in a position or in a situation that doesn't reflect what is happening in the corporate? And I want to talk to you about that this morning. Because there's something really powerful to know that we have individual seasons and individual stories. We have corporate seasons and corporate stories. And sometimes we also have to understand that when we step into a corporate story, like Chroma, the worship, the glory, the pump, the dancing, the Pentecostal, whatever we call it, and sometimes we have to engage in that in a way that is real for the season that we're in, but we don't avoid the pain. by disengaging, avoiding, or numbing, we still step in the way that is real for us. So when these students come to me and say, hey, how do I do this? How do I engage in like this joyful atmosphere, this jumping atmosphere, when actually I just feel like I'm in pain? And the truth is this, you walk a journey in reality of your season, but laying it down to engage with the greater reality of heaven, which is that he is glorious all the time. Okay. And so when we think about pain, we know that it's going to be part of our lives, but we also know that there is a purpose to it. And here it is. Jesus, like I said, endured the cross for the joy set before him. In other words, the purpose for the pain in your life is so that you can experience joy and glory that you could not experience unless you'd walk through the pain. Hey, how many of you guys know that sometimes the true sense of the depth of joy is not because everything's going right? The true sense of the depth of joy is that you conquered the pain of your season and now you made it to the mountaintop. If you want true joy in your life, you don't avoid or numb pain. You sit in it with the Lord, find out where he is, hold his hand, and walk out of the valley into the mountain. The purpose of pain is so specific because you're not meant to dwell in it for so long you get depressed or it becomes your definition, but you are meant to sit in it to find Jesus and allow him to walk it out with you in the timescale that is on the basis of his plan for your life. So listen, sitting in pain does not mean dwelling in pain. Dwelling in pain looks like this. You become absolutely saturated by depression. You become saturated by anxiety. Dwelling in pain looks like every other person is trying to offend you. Every other person is trying to like knock you off. Like when you sit in pain, you can only see pain. When you dwell in pain, when pain becomes your definition, you can only see pain everywhere. But if you are able to sit in the discomfort of the season you're in and walk it out with Jesus, you don't become defined by pain, you become defined by the resurrection power that comes as a result of walking alongside Jesus in your valley. You guys all right? We have some skewy things that we think about God sometimes. And I want to lay some things bare for you. God did not create pain. He didn't create situations and circumstance and lob them at you and say, experience pain. That's not what he did. He didn't give you pain in your life to teach you a lesson. He didn't create something to make sure that you hurt in order that you could feel how he hurts or whatever the phraseology that we use sometimes in our Christian backgrounds is. The truth is this, is that God uses everything for your glory, including pain, but he doesn't send it your way. So in other words, when you are in a situation and a circumstance that as a result of the fallen state of man, God hasn't sent that to lambast you, but he will use it to glorify you. And so the purpose of pain is always for you to move out of pain into glory and cast your crown at his feet. In exactly the same way that Jesus did, that when he walked through the cross, the ultimate crown of his sacrifice was laid at the Father's feet and we get resurrection power as a result. When last year, we experienced something really painful as a family when Jess miscarried. And it was quite a late miscarriage. And so we told our kids that they were having a baby brother or sister. And I remember when Jess phoned me and she said, it's bad news. And like, you know when your heart sinks? Like you guys know like when you hear those like the words and you like the pain hits you. You guys been there? And so like I'm trying to hold it together for the kids, you know. I'm like holding it together. And then Savvy says, "Hey, Daddy, what's happening?" Savannah's my eldest daughter; she's 5. And I was like, "Hey, babe, like your baby brother or sister's in heaven now." And we walked this journey together as a family. And the temptation for me in that moment was, hold it together and avoid this pain. Honestly, it's my go-to. I'm like, let's talk about something different. It's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. It's all going to be fine. God's got it sorted, all that sort of stuff. And how many of you guys know that's true? But if I didn't sit in the pain of that experience and teach my children how to walk through a painful experience, still focusing on the glory of God, but allowing myself to feel the pain, then actually I don't get the full joy that comes as a result of the pain that I've experienced. Friends, if you only experience joy because things are going right, you've actually lost an expression of life in you. But if you can experience joy despite the trials and the pain in your life, what's happened is you become defined by Jesus Christ's resurrection power in your life, and actually that you find joy in not in the circumstance that you walk through, but in the promise that it will not be the end. And how many of you guys know that I now stand with my 3-month-old son, Judah, worshiping? And so I want to say to you, if you've experienced pain, it will not define you. He will define you. We live in a world obsessed by making us defined by all the things we don't have, all the things that hurt us. We live in a culture obsessed with defining us by our pain. And Jesus never does that. He never invalidates pain. He never minimizes pain. He never says, just get over it, ever. He never says that. But what he does do is he says, will you look to me as the resurrection power and the healing for your pain? When Jess and I first came to Leicester, we got offered jobs to be pastors at Bethel Church in the school there. So we thought we were going to emigrate to California. We had all our bags packed. We had everything going on. We were like dreams, visions, angelic visitations, whatever it was. We had these things in our lives that we were like, this is it. We're emigrants, California. We're going to live in the sunshine. You know, like we were ready to go. Rock and roll, Leicester. We were ready to go. And then we got our visas declined 3 times. We spent thousands of pounds trying to get there. We were like, we're partnering with the word. God said it. We're going to do it. We're partnering. Let's go. And we couldn't go. Hey, any of you guys been in seasons where like your dreams have crumpled in front of you? You guys ever experienced that? You guys ever experienced like when all the things that you thought could happen in your life fall flat on their face and they crumble? Listen to me now. You were never designed to sit in the ruins of your crumpled dreams. You were always designed to see the rebuild that was coming and live there. And the whole purpose of what we do here is that we lift our eyes to heaven, we lift our eyes to glory in order that we're not defined by our circumstances, we're defined by the reality of who he is. We're not defined by the crumbling ruins of what we thought was going to happen, we're defined by the resurrection power to rebuild our lives. And so when you're invited into having pain as your definition, you reject that with all the might that you have, and you say instead, my pain is real, but I will look to the King. And that's how you journey here in Cromer. And I'm going to just, Steve said to me, we're running over, but just take your time. So we're going to go to 5:30 service, all right? No, we're not. But I want to talk to you about Numbers 21 and John 3, really, really briefly, okay? Because we find in these two stories something powerful for us to take home about how we deal with painful situations in our lives. So in Numbers 21, it's a fascinating story. I haven't got time to read it. If you've got a Bible, you can just like flick through. The Israelites have just had this major victory. They've defeated the Canaanites in the wilderness, and they go back to the wilderness. And then the Israelites, the Bible says, moan. They start whining and whinging, and they say this, we hate this detestable miracle bread. We hate the fact that there is bread dropping from heaven. We hate the fact that we have to walk around this wilderness. We were better off in slavery in Egypt. Hey, do you guys know why the Israelites had to walk 40 years? It's because even though they were emancipated from slavery, their minds were still slaves. And so actually the 40 years was to take the mindset of slavery away from the Israelites so the power to inherit the promised land. So they're moaning and they're whining and they're saying, hey, listen, we need to understand why is it that somehow we are still walking around this desert and they sin against God. And what happens is the Bible says in Numbers 21, God sends snakes among them. He allows snakes among them. And snakes are really important biblical symbols, by the way, because they represent the devil. And what happens is that the Israelites are bitten, poisoned, and they die. So they go to Moses and they say, we've sinned against God. How is it that we can be delivered from our situation? Ask God to take the snakes away. And God says, no, I'm not going to take the snakes away. So let's link back. So Jesus says, take this cup from me. God's like, actually, there's a purpose to this pain. And I'm going to lead you through it. The Israelites say, take the snakes away. And God says, actually, there's a consequence to sin and there's a consequence of pain to sin. And I'm going to walk you through this. And so instead of taking the snakes away, he says to Moses, build a bronze serpent on a pole and raise it high so that any of the Israelites are bitten by the snakes, they can look on their healing and live. Did you know that the way to overcome pain is by staring it in the face? The snakes, just think about this. The snakes that were killing them, they were asked to look at the snake in the face to overcome it. How many of us actually want to overcome pain? And if we do, are you willing to look at the pain? Are you willing to look at it and say, this, I'm overcoming this, because behind the pain is your healing. And what's really interesting is the Israelites, when the Bible talks with that collective noun, the Israelites, it doesn't mean that every single Israelite said, I hate this manna, I hate this journey, whatever. Which means this, that only some of them sinned, but the consequence was for all of them. So your life actually may well not be defined by a mistake that you've made. It might be defined by someone else's sin. Because some of you may have been impacted so negatively by someone else that's nothing to do with you. But you might be living in pain as a result of that person. Here's the deal. Whether you were the person that sinned to bring about pain or the consequence of sin that is painful, or you were the person that was impacted by someone else's sin, actually the thing is still, the solution is still the same. Look to your healing. So what happens is that in this story, Moses builds a serpent in order that the Israelites could view their healing and not be defined by their pain. So what happens is that the pain still exists, it's still real, the bites are still there, the poison is still there. It's not invalidated or minimized, it's a real aspect of their lives, but the solution is not to remove it, the solution is to be healed from it. And my question to you is that will you process through pain well and focus on your healing as opposed to be defined by your pain? And then what's really important here is that John 3, Jesus says, as the serpent was raised in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will be raised for the healing of all mankind. In other words, Jesus is comparing himself to the serpent that brought healing to a nation and actually says, if people will be able to focus on me as their salvation, me as their resurrection power, I will define their lives by healing despite their pain. And then instead of being defined by the hurt and the pain in our lives, we get defined by the fact that healing is around the corner. We don't get defined by poison, we get to be defined by forgiveness. We don't get to be defined by the things and the people that hurt us. We get to be defined by the eyes of our loving Savior who died on the cross to set us free. And the invitation for every single person who accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior is this. Will you let his resurrection power define your life instead of your pain? And as we journey in life in Cromer, as we invite people in to encounter his glory, his majesty, his wonder, here's just my suggestion to you. You don't have to fake it to make it here. If you are living in a place which does not feel like joy, still come into joy, but be real with it. If you're on a mountaintop and you want to dance and sing and go crazy and be like, yeah, Jesus is amazing. Come and do that and don't be silent. But don't look down on your brother or sister who's walking through a painful season. And if you're walking through a pain season or a season in the valley, ready to inherit your mountaintop and come forward as a declaration that my mountaintop is my definition, not my valley, then come and be real. If the only thing that you can do is like raise your hand in worship while you're sitting down because you're so exhausted by life, do that. But do something to engage in the corporate dynamic. Don't sit back and spectate. Don't sit back and avoid the joy. Don't sit back and avoid the prophetic declaration on your life. Instead, come in a way that is real and authentic to you and engage in this process as we get defined by his resurrection power and his resurrection life. And in that moment, if you're in a valley season, here's the deal, friends. Billy Graham says this: the mountaintop is great for views, but fruit is grown in the valleys. So if you're in a valley season, get ready for the most productive season of your life. He is growing you. He is maturing you. He is walking with you in life. He is journeying beside you. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. And your inheritance is the mountaintop. It's walking up the Mount Zion. That's your inheritance. But the fruit that will sustain your journey up the mountain is made in the valley. Don't avoid the valleys. Be real with them. But as we look to all of us as a church, move up the mountain of the Lord to have his glory as our definition, don't step back, step in whatever way that is real for you. If it is sitting on your seat and raising your hands and going, God, I don't know how to do this, but help me. Fine. Here's my suggestion. Even if you don't feel joyful, this is a place where you can come and have your prophetic declaration of joy over your life. Come to the front and in whatever way is real for you, engage. Because even in a place of pain, you know that joy comes in the morning. And you only really know true joy with the sun rising in your life if you've experienced the night which it has replaced. I'm done. Will you stand?